of God. Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Turn your Bibles to the book of Psalms, number 11. Psalms, number 11. Beginning at verse 1, recorded are these words: In the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For lo, the wicked bend their bow, they make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of His Word. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? I want to offer an answer to that question this morning, and it's simply trust in the Lord. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, whatever you're going through, or whatever's going through you, put your trust in the Lord. Now give Him some praise if you don't mind doing that. One of the things that David says that's so helpful to the believer who understands that no matter how saved and sanctified and how filled with God's Spirit you are, how close in relationship you are with God, you are going to have and experience trouble. Trouble is not in and of itself a bad thing altogether, especially when you understand that God uses trouble many times to bring you to a place that He has already designed for you to be. Sometimes God uses trouble to promote you. God uses trouble to develop you. God uses trouble to define you. God uses trouble to bring you to a place of understanding and to a place many times of refocusing. God allows trouble in many essences in the Word and many instances in the Word to bring us to a place of looking back to Him. Yeah. I think sometime in our Christian walk, our focus is taken off of God through our own hurriedness, our busyness, sometime of our own desire, our own inventions, our own interest. And every now and then, God uses the medium of trouble to bring a focus back on where it ought to be. I think as believers and understanding how God operates in His Word, trouble has a way of bringing a Christian down to his knees or to her knees when they have allowed pride to lift them up above where God would have them to be. Sometimes God allows this situation of trouble to bring us to a place of hearing God more intimately because we're paying attention more to what He says after trouble has knocked on our door. David is a man who was well acquainted with trouble, but he was also one who understood that all trouble wasn't trouble when God was in the picture. Look at what he says: In the Lord put I my trust. Now, he's speaking personally, he's speaking privately, he's speaking about his own volition, his own conviction, ain't talking about nobody else, he's talking about himself. In other words, he's saying, I have learned to put my trust in the Lord. Now, look at what he says: How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? Now, what he's talking about here very simply is, that if God does not order your steps, if God does not tell you to move, if God does not say to you to go, then no matter even if trouble is there, you're safer there in the midst of trouble where God is with you than where you would run off to and God is not. Now look at this. He says, you don't understand. I ain't running from trouble. Because if anything, I'm going to make trouble run from me. He's saying, and the reason is because I put my trust not in anything or anybody, but God. So if I put my trust in the Lord, then I know that I take my orders from the Lord. And every now and then, God has a way of using circumstances and situations to get folks' attention. Now look at what he says, because you got some folk who don't always understand how God operates. And God is so unlike man in his thinking. God is so unmeasurable. He is so unlimited in his ability to think, to reason, to be able to operate, till man can't understand God's thinking. And every time we think we can figure God out, God tells you, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. As high as the heavens are above you, so am I above you. My ways are above you. My thoughts are above you. So you can't comprehend God. All you can do is to be in a place where God deals with you and dwells with you. David says this, listen, he says, verse 2, for lo, and that's where the wicked are, you just add a W to that, you'll see, the wicked bend their bow, they make ready their arrow upon the string that they may, listen at this, privately shoot at the upright in heart. Now look at the wicked. First of all, the Bible says that if you listen to the folk that don't have God's viewpoint and God's advantage or vantage point, then you are running so much so that the enemy will have an opportunity to shoot at you. Now, if God tells you to go, then God goes with you. But if you get up and go and lead God where God's told you to be, then you're on your own. Now, let me ask you a question. How many times in this life have you made mistakes because you got ahead of God and you did what God didn't tell you to do? All right. Some of you tell me, oh, I can't take this another day. I can't stand it. I can't go through it. And you leave one bad situation and run into another one worse. Y'all getting quiet on me here. The old folks say you jump out of the skillet into the frying pan. I know if you've lived and made some bad choices, you understand that. But look at what he says. Now, listen, again, how say ye to my soul? Yeah. Listen, you've got to understand that you've got to have a personal relationship with God. You've got to have a personal line of communication with God to understand what God has said to you and to know that if I have a personal communication with God, there are some things God's going to tell me he ain't going to tell you. Now, if I hear God and obey God, then I have God's power, his protection, and his peace, not to mention his provisions. But if you look at my situation and analyze my situation and tell me to fly to yonder's mountain, if I were you, I'd go on and I'd do this and that and the other. Now, look at what David is saying. How are you going to speak for my soul? How are you going to say something for me when you don't know what God is saying to me? Listen at this. Flee as a bird to your mountain. Well, what makes you think this ain't my mountain? Y'all ain't hearing me here. Wherever God says it is, it is. Now listen at this. He says, verse 2, for lo, the wicked bend their bow, they make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privately shoot at the upright in heart. Amen. Now, when you're where God wants you to be, they can't get to you like they want to get to you. If you've ever been a hunter, ever seen it, watched on television, hunting shows and so forth, and when they were hunting for ducks or turkeys or wild turkeys or so forth, they would hide low in the bushes. And they'd get in little blinds and they'd cover it up to disguise themselves to hide. But notice, as long as the bird of prey was down in his or her place, they really didn't shoot him. They had the bow pulled back or they had the gun cocked, but it was too much brush and too much weeds and too much debris and too much block in the way, so they couldn't get a good shot. But they would try to do things to make the ducks and all the turkeys take flight. They would send dogs in there. They would throw things in there. They would make calls. They would do whatever they could so that the ducks or the geese or the flying wild turkey would take. And when they take off, they'd either take the arrow or the gun, and in flight, they would then shoot at them from their private. Y'all ain't here. I wish I had some folk who understood me yet. See, sometime the enemy wants you to move from the place God's got you covered and take to a place that seems like it's a place of protection, when if God has not told you to do it, I'm here to tell you, you might think that you're in a lion's den, but it's safer to be in a lion's den with the Lord than to be on a mountaintop without him. Now look at this. Look at what he says. Look at what he says. Verse 3. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? If the foundations, what represents the foundations? God's holy word, God's truth, God's principles, God's foundation is based upon the rules or the laws that he himself has laid down. In other words, this word here is simply saying, if God's word, if those things that we trust upon, those things that we live through and upon and believe in and hold our whole lives together based upon, if those things be destroyed, what can the righteous do if the rules we play by are changed in the middle of the game? Amen. What can the righteous do? If the foundation upon which we build our hope, our lives, our dreams be destroyed, what can the righteous do? If the commitment that we've made and we've entered into a covenant agreement be undermined, what can the righteous do? Amen. If what we have believed and trusted in and upon be ripped and stripped and marred and scarred, what can the righteous do? I'm glad you asked that question. But I've got news for you, my brothers and sisters. All the righteous can do, even when it seems as if foundations are crumbling from underneath you, is trust in the Lord. Because I've got news for you. He's already declared that heaven and earth would pass away, but not one jot or tittle of his word would ever pass away. Some of you right here now, God is trying to say, yes, 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 I know it may appear that your foundation is crumbling, but your foundation is not your faith in that is earthly or that is temporal or that is material. Your faith should be in that is real and invisible and unseen, but yet is stronger than anything this world know, and that faith should be in God and God himself. Amen. I think if you look at the text and then go to it again and see how the righteous are tested, look at verse 4. The Bible says, the Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. Now look at the word now. The Bible says, the Lord is in his holy temple. Now, folk don't understand that if God is in the house, you're going to have to deal with the God of the house. Now, listen at this. The Bible says the Lord's throne is in heaven. But though his throne is in heaven, look at what the Bible says. His eyes, behold, his eyes focus in. His eyes, listen at this, and I like the next part. It says, his eyelids try. Literally, what that means is, though he sits in heaven and beholds everything, every now and then, when his eyelids try, it means that they squint so that they get smaller, as in to block out everything else and focus in on something individual. So you've got to know, even though he's way up there, he can focus his eyes right on you and see you and put you in that place that lets you know he's got this thing fixed. If God don't keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. If God is not looking over you, your sentry system, your alarm system, your pistols, your all of that can't protect you if God is not in control. Now listen at this. Listen at this. He says something else. His eyelids try the children of men. That's human kindness. That's human beings. That's human existence, human frailties, human existence, and human experiences. God tries all of that. But look at what the Bible says. The Lord tried the righteous. Now, if the Lord trieth the righteous, how does he try the righteous? Many times he tries the righteous with trouble. Amen. Listen to me well, because see, the saints got misconceptions about when you're going through. Sometimes folk don't understand that you're going through in order to go to what God's got for you. And sometimes folk think going through is a bad thing. But I got news for you that it's the through that takes you to where God wants you. Let me put it another way. Canaan was on the other side of the Red Sea. Egypt was here. Canaan was there. But they had to go through the Red Sea to get what God had for them. Let me put it another way. When Joshua took over and he had to make them cross over the Jordan to get to, again, the promised land that God had for them, what stood between them then was the Jordan River where they were and the place of God's rest where he wanted them to be. They had to go through the Jordan to get over to where God wanted them. Well, let me put it another way. Every now and then, where you are, God shows you what he's got for you. But he can never give you what he's got for you till you go through something to get there. Y'all ain't hearing me here. The blessing is on the other side of the burdens. And some of you sitting here whining, why is this happening to me? Because God's trying to get you to where he wants you to be so you won't have to be crying and whining about what's happening to you. Sometimes you got to cry before you can laugh. Sometimes you got to go down before you can go up. Sometimes you get weak before you get strong. But it's going through that takes you to where God wants you to be. Somebody ought to shout, I'm glad I'm going through. Because if I were not going through, I would not be on my way to what God's got for me. Ooh, somebody ought to hear me here today. Listen at this. So the Lord trieth the righteous. Tell somebody the Lord is trying me. The devil might be used, but God is trying me. Now I got something else to tell you about God trying you. When God tries you, he never puts more on you than you can bear. When God is trying you. Listen at this. The Bible says, again, the Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. God ain't got no love for the wicked. God just don't have any love for the wicked. The Bible says, listen at this, his soul hateth. Listen at this. And the Bible makes clear those who are violent, those who do things out of the word, out of the will, and those out of the way of God, the Bible says, he hated. Verse 6 says, upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and an horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. Amen. Now you do realize this is the same psalmist that talked about his cup. In the 23rd Psalm, he said his cup runneth over, but it was with good things because the Lord had already thrown his party and had already catered it and was already serving it. And he said he gets happy and just overflows me with good things. But backing up before he ever got to his cup, he had to tell the wicked what their cup had. And look at the difference here. The Bible says he shall rain snares. And the Bible says fire and brimstone and an horrible tempest or wind. This shall be the portion of their cup. Look at this again. Rain snares. Fire and brimstone. Now, an horrible tempest. All of this in the cosmos. All this has to do with those things that they will experience in the natural realm. He's going to rain down snares. Snares are traps and things that happen that will impede progress and growth and development. But then he says fire and brimstone, raining down the fire of God, which means the wrath of God, and the brimstones, again, that break one in two when bricks or boulders or stones hit, and then a horrible tempest or a strong hot wind. If you've ever been in a place and a strong hot wind, it seems to burn your face. It has a gripping effect on you that just won't even let you go. The Bible says this shall be the portion of their cup. Verse 7 says, for the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright. His face does look upon, does shine upon, does give them an opportunity to look upon him. In other words, they have fellowship together.
Amen.
Now, my brothers and sisters, why should you trust in the Lord when you're going through whatever it is you're going through? Well, it's simple here, because what you need to understand is that there is no trusting in God unless you have a relationship with God.
Yes.
To know God himself means that you have a place of permanency. You have a place of preservation. You have a place where God provides for you. You have a place where God gives you peace. You have a place where God empowers you. When you are in God's presence, when you have God on your side, there is a place that God uses and utilizes the things of this world to bring about what it is he's trying to define and refine in you.
Amen, amen, amen.
I used to, when I was a younger saint, trying to do what God wanted me to do, I used to get upset when things would happen and trouble would come. And I'm like, Lord, I'm doing the best that I can that you've told me to do. Why are you allowed? And God had to, not then, but as I've grown and gone through situations, reminded me that I'm in control of this. And sometimes what God does is God has to work on you before he can work on your situation. Sometime God has to deal with you. God has to change you. God has to transform you. God has to minister to you. God has to work on you before he works on your situation. And I've got news for you. God is a just God. Now, God doesn't have to get in a hurry. I've told folk that before, and every time we tell God, God, come on here, hurry up there, God, go there, God, there, go there. God's everywhere. He ain't got to go where he already is. God, do this, God, do that, God, do that. Now, we can release him in the earth realm to work on our behalf, but God has already done supernaturally and in the spirit realm everything he's already gonna do. Now, listen at this. Because when he did everything he did in the first 6 days of this world's existence, there was nothing else he needed to do. Matter of fact, he even put in place that would remedy our mistake even before the people themselves who would make the mistake had ever been made. Now, you can't tell. What I'm trying to tell you is before the end came in the beginning, he already took care of the end. And the only thing he left you to do in the middle of the beginning and the end was go through the process. And a whole lot of us don't understand it's going through the process that's going to yield us the profit. And when you understand that you never get the profit till you go through the process, you ought to say, bring the process on, God, because I'm ready for what you've got for me. Somebody don't hear me here. When you are ready to trust God and know that God has got this thing fixed, whatever it is you're going through, then God's going to get the glory. And my brother, my sister, trust me when I tell you, you're going to sure enough experience God's good. Now listen at this, and I'm closing. God wants us to understand, verse 7 again, for the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. The righteous Lord loveth righteousness. The righteous Lord loveth us being in a right standing, in a right place, in righteous acts and righteous deeds. Amen. With him. He loveth righteousness.
Amen, amen.
And listen to what this word says. His countenance, his face, doth behold the upright.
Amen, amen.
Now, if you missed everything else I've said, if you're just right, the old folk used to say, the Lord will fight your battle.
Amen.
If you're right.
Yeah.
You can sleep at night.
Amen.
If you're right.
Yeah.
You can throw your hands up in the air and tell God, God, I surrender all. If you're right. You need to know that come day, come night, come rain, come shine, no matter what the situation is, God's going to handle it. God's going to take. Be not dismayed. Whatever betides, God will. Any old saints who know this truth here, take care of you. David said, I once was young and now am old. Now, you don't get to be young and then old without going through some stuff. without having some test. You don't get to be young and then become old without having had some rainy days, some crying nights, some struggling situations, some times when you didn't feel like you were going to make it. You don't get to be young and then old without understanding that sometime things that appear to be right will be wrong, and things that appear to be wrong will be right. Sometime that up will look down and down will look. You don't get to be from young to old without understanding that you're going to go through something in this world. But listen to what he said. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken. I've seen the righteous tried, but I've never seen the righteous. I've seen the righteous knocked down, but I've never seen the righteous knocked out. I've seen the righteous shifted from side to side, but I've never seen them plucked up. I've seen, y'all not hearing me here today. I've seen the righteous go through trouble, but I've never seen them stay there. I've seen the righteous bow their head down with tears and pain, but I've seen the Lord lift up their head. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed. So I wish I had somebody who knows the scripture. His seed begging bread. Because just like God takes care of mama and daddy, God takes care of what mama and daddy made. Y'all not hearing me here. If God takes care of the righteous, he takes care of what is connected with the righteous. If God takes care of the righteous, he makes a way for what the righteous has. And if you know God is looking on you, and God is smiling on you, and God is with you, the question is, who can be against you?
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's L-O-B-D-E-L-L Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.
Kids will be kids.
Oh, I don't know why they're trying to make a big deal of it. It's just a harmless rite of passage.
If she didn't want to be picked on, she shouldn't wear that thing on her head.
If he's going to dress that way, he's just asking for the extra attention.
It's just a stage. All kids face some bullying. They'll get over it.
That girl, she just brings it on herself. I don't feel bad for her at all.
It's just a stage.
All kids face something.
It's just a stage.
It's just a harmless rite of passage.
Don't validate. Eliminate. All students in Louisiana deserve a safe learning environment without the threat of bullying. I'm Debbie Moe, president of the Louisiana Association of Educators. It is up to us as educators, as parents, as adults to stand up on behalf of bullied students. Identify, intervene, and advocate. One caring adult can make all the difference.
Visit nea.org/bullyfree. A message from the Louisiana Association of Educators.
It's tax time, and you've got big dreams, but it's going to take big money to accomplish those big dreams. That's why Big Money Taxes is there to help you. Big money, big money, big money is what you want. 318-445-9953 or 318-290-7302. Those numbers will help you to get big money. Walk-ins are welcome, or you can phone for appointment. Big Money Tax is located 91 Texas Avenue in the heart of Alexandria, Louisiana, is waiting for you. You've got your mind on your money, and you've got money on your mind. But time is of the essence. They're willing to help you get every dime that you worked hard for and that you earned. The professionals at Big Money Taxes have years of experience, so what are you waiting for? Big Money Taxes, located 91 Texas Avenue, Suite A in Alexandria. Phone 318-445-9953 or 318-290-7302. You need big money. Big money. Big Money Taxes, 91 Texas Avenue in Alexandria. Big Money Taxes is a proud underwriting sponsor of KAY.